Do you know the plan, James? The plan with this, we're at James's house, so there might be traffic noise. We might hear the dogs at some point, although they are pretty much spark out.
They are. They're both asleep on their respective sofas.
What I was hoping, though, I like this space. We used to podcast in this space quite a lot.
We did, well, for a little bit. There's Scarlett's rooms just behind us. We used to podcast in there for the first year.
Before she was here.
And then we transitioned into this room. And then we went to your house, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
And now we're in a studio normally. But because it's Bank Holiday Monday, instead we're having a lazy bank holiday day. There's birdsong. That's so sweet. I hope the mic picked that up. My plan was this was going to be so casual. It's only going to be a very short episode, listener. This was going to be so casual. I was going to set up while James was making tea. And then I was going to be recording, and I'd record him coming over and sitting down having tea, and that'd be, you'd be eased into it, and it'd be like you were having a lovely bank holiday cup of tea.
Do you want another cup of tea then?
Can I have another cup of tea?
You can have another cup of tea.
I'll pause it.
Okay.
And we'll have a cup of tea.
Yeah, alright, I could always go and have a cup of tea.
Thank you, we've got our tea.
We have, yeah, we've got a lovely cup of tea now.
But this is a very special episode of Two Grown Men. Very special in that it'll be a bit shorter, and we're in a house.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk about too much.
It's not going to be about having hair where there wasn't hair before then.
No.
Good.
We are... What's that? Is that a reference or something?
Tonight in a very special blossom.
Oh, right, okay, no. No, it's not a very special blossom. In a podcasting sense, James and I are both quite burned out. Because Saturday, we were podcasting all day.
It was emotional.
It was emotional. We were at Free Comic Book Day, and we did the Momcast in at Southampton, Forbidden Planet, Southampton, Forbidden Planet.
Actually, after being there for, what was it? We were there for a working day, so we were there for about 8 hours. Is it Stacey Taylor that does Stacey's pop culture podcast?
Yes.
Isn't she doing a 24-hour show?
She's doing a 24-hour show.
I don't know how she's going to do that.
I think it's for charity or something. I'm not sure what it's for. But yes, I don't know how she's going to do that. I am signed up to do an hour.
You are?
Around midnight. Can't remember what day it is, but it's. I don't think it's for a little while. It is exciting. It's quite exciting. I don't... Stacey, I know, suffers... as we do, as I think both of us do, from a level of social awkwardness and shyness and that's almost crippling.
Yeah.
And really struggles to go up to people and talk to them. But so it's kind of even more amazing, some of the people she's been having on her podcast in the last few months. I don't know how many of these are, I don't know how many of these, if any, are going to be on the 24-hour one yet. But she had me. That's quite a good get.
Although incredible, because you appear on very few podcasts.
Yeah, although we met on a... We met on a a dance floor at Thought Bubble. Actually, more specifically, we met standing at the side of a dance floor at Thought Bubble, not dancing.
Yeah, that's usually where, you'll find me in correlation to a dance floor.
Before one of the Geek Syndicate guys whisked her off onto the dance floor. Dave and Barry were... I get the impression they rock a dance floor, those two, and Whisker. They're way more cool than me. But anyway, so... she's had Kelly Sue DeConnick, who is a comic person, Jamie Smart, who is very approachable, but, you'd be scared.
He ruined Desperate Dan.
He did ruin Desperate Dan. I don't think we'd mentioned him on this podcast. This might be the way I get him to listen to this podcast.
Brilliant.
And she's had, which I know is a bigger deal for her than for her and fans of these things than me, but she's had people who are like voice artists on some of her favourite cartoons.
Oh, okay.
On as guests as well. So that's pretty cool. And so that's going to be quite good, the 24-hour thing. Stacey's, I always get confused by exactly how the name of it is put together, but I think it's Stacey's Pop Culture
Parlour
Podcast. Yeah. Stacey's Pop Culture Parlour Podcast. Something like that.
That's a minefield for us because it's filled with potential plosives.
Lots of potential plosives. So yeah. It's pop culture parlor podcast plosives. I don't think there are any though.
I can see the microphones fizzing and popping. I think it's going to it's got 2 40-year-old men plosifing at it. We'll start whistling through our teeth before the end of this.
Well, why did we bring up Stacey? I can't remember.
Because we're burned out from all the podcasts.
Oh, loads, yeah, and so 24 and hours is
we
gonna...
did it for 8 hours, but she's doing 24 hours, which is more challenging than... Although...
You've done 24-hour things before.
Yeah, the last one I fell asleep towards the end as well.
There's no old. Saying Stacey won't, yeah, to be true. Fair.
Old now. We had an additional encumbrance when we were podcasting, though, in so much as members of the great British public...
Oh, yes, that was interesting.
We were interacting with us while we were trying to podcast, whether we wanted them to or not.
All of whom have been cut.
Yes.
From it, because we couldn't get... We probably could have got their permission to use it. In two cases, we definitely could have, because they were kind of desperate for the attention, but we didn't want to.
I'm not sure whether... I don't... It's a consent issue. Were they old enough to have been able to... They were quite young, very enthusiastic.
One of them was a lady who clearly has some sort of... maybe some sort of disability.
Possibly. Or, we should probably steer clear of making diagnoses.
Or something. Can't make a diagnosis, yeah, but she seemed... And she was very nice. She was very nice, but she didn't really even realise that we were recording when she came... over and started talking to... It was every time Steve Bishop, life partner Steve, opened his mouth to do a review, someone like came over.
It was like the siren call, wasn't it?
It was awesome. He handled it like a prostitute, like a pro.
He really did, actually.
But the first one, yeah, she... I just don't think she really necessarily knew that we were recording at the time. Mm. She was very nice, but I don't think she knew. And then there was one teenage girl who was very excitable and saw the microphone and immediately came over and said, "Are you recording?" And we said, "Yes." And she said, "Hello," into the microphone and said, "Sorry, I had to do that," and then kind of drifted around for a bit.
Was she the one that had the vaguely racist male friend?
Yes. Yeah. I get confused. I work at a university, so I'm surrounded by students all the time who are normally like around 18 to 22 sort of thing. And I still kind of carry around certain things in my head, which the world has proved, like prejudices, which the world has proved wrong so many times. One is that university students are on balance more likely to like decent music and be like cooler and alternative than people who aren't at university. That's nonsense.
Do you find all of these? It seems to be coming increasingly nonsensical the older we get.
No, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I do. Because I remember when I was at
young
university.
People,
But of course, there were probably just as many normal people at university when I was there. I just didn't talk to them.
I find the more that students and people of that age don't listen to the Stone Roses and rave music, the less I trust them. Mm. The feckless bastards. Don't they know this has all been perfected by those of us who grew up in the 90s?
A Nirvana t-shirt is a good start.
Yeah.
But, it's just kind of... I expect people who are into that stuff to be a bit more thoughtful, maybe. And it is. It's a complete prejudice. I have come to realise... I kind of knew already, but I've come to realise that someone being a geek doesn't necessarily mean they're more open-minded. But... Yeah. When I see someone who's a little bit gothy or in like slightly dark clothes, looks like a bit of an outsider, I still kind of expect them to be a little bit more...
But they looked alt, didn't they? And you would expect
For some reason, I always expect them...
Someone who's going to cast themselves as the outsider. You're like that? You're right. I expect them to be... In my experiences, certainly, I used to hang around with goth girls at school. I tend to, in... my adult life, kind of gravitate towards people who possibly would have quote unquote more alternative lifestyles, because generally I found them more open-minded, more liberal, more interesting. None of which was borne out by the individual that was...
No, he was interesting. He kind of came over and just started talking at... I don't think he was ever entirely aware that it was all being recorded though either. And the one thing I'm really sad that we cut, that I had to cut, And the audio wasn't great on it either, but there was a point at which I started... Steve was telling a terribly bad joke, just a really cheesy joke, and the lad started interrupting with some casually racist... with a casually racist response, and I jumped on him. I didn't actually jump on him, but I verbally jumped on him and started attacking his joke etiquette. And James actually joined in at one point. I was very much like, you can't. He's in the middle of a joke. Yeah. You can't give your own punchline to a joke. It was funny.
I was on the verge of calling the UN out on him, I believe, at one point.
I did wonder to what extent the people who worked at Forbidden Planet, at least, maybe not the UN, might have taken them a bit of time to get there, would have been able to do anything. But I mean, he wasn't. I listened back to it. He wasn't actually outspokenly properly racist. He was just skating so close to it that I think it made us both incredibly awkward.
Because of who I am, the way I cast that in my mind afterwards when I was thinking about it was the reason he was being... I think it had something to do with possibly the Mid East.
Mm.
The reason I... in my head, the way that this had turned... The reasoning, sorry, I gave him for that is he was uncomfortable...
Mm-hmm.
Because he was interacting with some middle-aged men.
Yes.
And he assumed that the middle-aged men would be racists.
Yes, maybe.
And he was trying to assimilate with the middle-aged men. That was because of my prejudice, like yours, that young people are more right on. And I assume that he's going to have been awkward. I assumed that all he was doing was trying to assimilate and please us. Does my racism please you?
Maybe. Do you know, because people are weird. And I think the assumption quite often is that people are bigots because they're evil. Because as much as you know, we're all atheists now, who believe in the rational world, evil is still a thing that very much exists out there that infests people, and there are evil people and there are good people. And so I think we tend to think of bigots as being quite evil, but a lot of the time I think they're either ignorant or just a bit sad. They think that that's how you're supposed to be, so they are like that. I remember
do bigots deserve to have poo sent to them to a free post mail address.
I thought we weren't going to have anything to talk about, but you're right, that's gold.
Yeah.
Can I just... I'll just finish my... Because we'll leave the comic shop in a second, because this isn't the Momcast, but the way I met James was, interestingly, considering the whole point...
It was on a dance floor.
Yes, on a dance floor. We weren't dancing on the side, and then midway through the dance, one of the Geek Syndicate guys came and whisked him off onto the dance floor. That didn't happen.
Do you know, the image of someone being whisked off on the dance floor, I don't know what it conjures up in your mind.
It isn't compatible with you, picture of you.
You're going to slip over on that if you're not careful.
Yes, considering the Momcast, we try and make the mom thing be relatively... positive about comics, about individual comics. The way James and I met was by me entering a competition to tell him what I thought was the worst comic ever. It was an issue of Spider-Man written by J. Michael Straczynski, by the way. But one of the best comics I've ever read, one of the ones that sticks in my head anyway, it's probably a bit naive if I went back and read it now. It was an issue of The New Mutants. I can't remember who the artist is. It might have been written by Louise Simonson, I'm not sure, but it was it was during the first 20 or 30 issues of the earliest run of that. And it was The New Mutants and Kitty Pryde. But the core of the story was about a young boy who was already socially awkward. He's a teenager, sorry. He was already socially awkward. And a bit of an outsider at high school, and he has discovered in the privacy of his own room lots of things. That's where all adolescent boys discover things. But he's discovered that he's a mutant, and this was at the time when in the 80s when the mutant comics were all about, like, it was all a racism allegory. Mm-hmm. Homophobia allegory as well. And he discovered he was he had mutant powers. And he's at a party with the other new mutants, and he thinks, well, these are some guys who don't know how uncool I am because they're not at my high school, so I'll go over to them. And he goes over to them and starts telling them loads of anti-mutant jokes because he's trying to fit in, and he thinks that's how you're supposed to behave. And so he goes over to them and he starts giving it all that, and they completely reject him. And then later on, he kills himself, and it's one of the most depressing things I've ever read. But so that sunk into me really early to make me think that, and that's why I kind of believe, you know, sometimes it isn't that people are evil. Sometimes literally they've just been brought up around people who are obnoxious.
Sometimes they're just a mutant trying to fit in a mutant hating world.
Which I think you're right about that guy. I think he was a mutant trying to fit in a mutant hating world.
Interesting, I think you're right. Interestingly, we really haven't got time to go to in depth, I don't think, today about this subject. In comics, there has been a debate about what has been dubbed, in inverted commas, fake geek girls.
Yes.
I think I got to meet a couple of girls that I think would be cast by some who don't think very deeply as that. I think, having had a couple of days to ruminate on it, I think it's that whole thing comes about because I don't think girls in some aspects of geek culture get the same passes as boys do in terms of how they demonstrate their social awkwardness.
Mm. I think I know what you mean. I'm not sure.
I think that fake geek boys get to talk cod shit about so-and-so, you know, Spider-Man would beat, you know, Cyclops and a one or whatever, would take down Batman. And they get to talk some cod shit based on their own, you know, limited knowledge and prejudices in terms of what they like and don't like. I think when girls say that, I think they get written off as being ignorant.
I see what you mean.
Poor example. This girl was a big Storm fan and said that Storm would take down Thor. That's clearly ridiculous. but I think were a boy saying that, then the boy gets a pass. I think when it's a girl saying that, I think they're less likely to get a pass.
I think you're absolutely right.
You don't know what you're talking about. You're a fake geek girl.
I think you're absolutely right. I have to tell you, James, I've got a sneaking suspicion that's happened in one of the comics. I'm not sure.
Did she take him down?
I'm not sure. I think I've seen it happen, but I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, but that, in an X-Men book,
that would make sense.
But in a Thor book, he's going to take her down.
You know
how that's... He's a god, and he's got a hammer made out of the heart of a sun.
He is a god.
A red dwarf, wasn't it, or something?
I'm not sure if it was red dwarf or one of the sister ships.
Yeah, in my opinion, yeah.
But the
Scutters.
No, I think you're right. And I think part of that is that one of the things... I don't want to generalise, but I think the sort of guys who are really resistant and scared of... female geeks, girls being into the things they are probably too scared of most other guys to ever try and criticise them.
Yeah.
Even other guys who are approximately as geeky as them. Yeah. When you see a bunch of these socially awkward guys together, there tends to be a lot of vying for... It's very cautious how they engage with each other as guys, because they're generally scared of other guys, whereas, you know, girls, I think they think aren't.
I think they're more scared of girls than perfectly.
Well, I think they're scared, but in different ways.
Yeah, but I think it's weird, like I say as well, the passes. Whereas, like, you know, the intensity is just the same. You react to the intensity just the same, but then you throw on as a geek person. You know, maybe I'm slightly in a slightly different place on the scale to some of these guys. I don't know. But then, you know, also thrown into your reaction is gender as well.
Yeah,
when it's a girl, and I'm sure that's where that comes from. It's just.
I definitely think it's one of the places, because most of the stuff people talk, most of the stuff guys in the sorts of conversations where you're really focused on which superhero will beat whichever superhero, most of what everyone's talking is completely bullshit. Always.
Well, it all is.
All is, yeah. Yes. But yeah, so a couple of people, I do think part of it is, and I know not everybody agrees, and it's certainly no excuse, but... One of my friends was talking on Facebook about how other girls treat them, like, when they're at comic conventions, are you here with your boyfriend then? Also, how long have you been reading comics then? And that's other women. That's definitely the same. I think it comes from the same place as when guys do it. And we got into a slightly confused conversation, because I think what happens is, in some of those situations, if you present as remotely together or confident, that's then suddenly you represent something to those people that they're a bit intimidated by or scared of. But the truth is that most of the people who present as a bit confident at a comic convention actually aren't. It's just their social camouflage is a bit better. So, like, those of us who podcast, for example, the assumption is, I think a lot of people assume that we are somehow more confident than people who don't podcast. But it's not true. We're way more insecure than people who don't podcast.
I find it impossible to talk to people about... Mm. We were sat next to...
John Higgins.
All day on Saturday. Didn't once go over and say, we're doing a podcast, would you have 5 minutes to say a few words about a free comic book day for us? Because we were happy in our little bubble and comfortable with each other and the microphone. Mm-hmm. But if we have to talk to that man over there, we might get rejected.
Yeah, it was. I think that's it. I think that's where it comes from. And he was so nice. But then you're like, well, no, he's so nice. And he was nice to us. If we say something, we will only spoil this.
Yeah.
That's all that can possibly happen.
Let's not ruin this moment.
So anyway, that's why this is going to be a really short show, because we're burned out from that.
Yeah.
I do think you just touched on the UKIP thing that I do think we need to talk about very, very briefly.
How sending shit in the post elevates political discussion in this country.
Yes. The a few wags on the internet... and
I don't
ended
know if we know. I don't think we've established whether it was wives and girlfriends or footballers.
No, and a few people, scamps on the internet, and then lots of people on the internet realised that UKIP were putting leaflets through doors. This is because people could be listening to this years after UKIP have rebranded into something else, the way the National Front did into the BNP. Yes, they worked out that because UKIP were putting their leaflets through people's doors, but they worked out that there was a free post address where UKIP said that if you wanted to send this or anything back to them, there was postage paid. UKIP would foot the bill on that, which is a fairly standard thing in junk mail anyway. I think, you know, when people are trying to sell you something, it's normally they've got a free post envelope back. And so a lot of people were sharing around social networking, you should send it back with something written on it or whatever, saying or voicing your disgust, or let's see if we can, like, cost them a bit of money doing this. And then over the last, like, 24 hours, I think, the story's broken
The Royal Mail are basically refusing to handle the free post mail because, and this is the issue, is it's, you know, if you want to... It's disgust. It's a disgusting way to protest.
It's literally a dirty protest.
Yeah, it is. I mean, UKIP are pretty vile. I find sitting on the left wing of politics as I do, I find their policies deeply distrustful at best.
I don't think you, at least on this podcast, need to clarify your position on UKIP.
Fair enough.
I'm pretty much anti them as well, listener.
But obviously sending feces through,
what happened, feces got sent through.
They are, for the most part, mostly human beings involved. A human being's going to have to deal, if you're sending this, a human being's going to have to deal with your shit, which is pretty horrible. You wouldn't want, I'm sure all of the people who did it have pretty strong political beliefs. I'm sure none of them particularly want feces posted through their door because they, like, maybe believe in the writings of Marx or something. I know I certainly, because I'm a leftist, I wouldn't want, you know, a neocon sending me poo-poo because they did. I think that would be unnecessary, so it cuts both ways.
That's a very open-minded attitude to political difference you've got there. I think most people see the people on the opposite side of the spectrum from them as subhuman somehow, and that's why it doesn't matter. But
even if you do find them subhuman, the reason that the free post address has been closed down is because there's... myriad human beings between the human being doing the poo and the human being who has to open the poo are all these poor bastards in the middle.
And the Royal Mail and places like that.
You have to carry your friggin' mail from your arse to the arses.
Mm. And it probably never even gets to anyone who you've seen on telly.
No, it probably ends up in a sorting office where several people would just have to deal with a packet of dripping shit.
There are two things about it that really perplexed me thinking about it. One was the fact that I kind of understand the rhetoric. I'm sure there were plenty of people who I actually do respect online who would have said, you know, now that they're taking mail back, someone should definitely send them some shit. I can see, because that's kind of a jokey way of protesting something, putting shit through someone's door and stuff like that. I get it. I get that someone might mention it as a joke, but there are lots of stages before the envelope has even left your house.
Yeah,
there are lots of stages that you have to go through which I'd think certainly anyone I'd want on the same ideological side as me would think, you know, this was all fun and games, but I think I'm out at this point. I don't think at the point that you've had the shit, if it was human shit, or you've seen an animal do it, that's the point pretty much where I'd... Maybe they've got more conviction than me. That's the point I'd give up.
At what point between the feces exiting the anus and the feces going in a postbox, what point do you think the individual who's doing that fails the psychopath test?
I'm really not sure.
Well, I think it might be the moment the feces get picked up
and put in a
and are moved into some sort of male carrying receptacle.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But maybe it's like maybe that's just, you know, nothing good ever came easy, James. Maybe they thought the sacrifice was like worth it, like Emily Pankhurst or whatever her name was.
But what's the end sum game going to be, do they think, of this? Is
someone will open up a shitty envelope.
But at UKIP offices, someone opens up the shitty envelope and they go,
oh this is some feces.
Oh, it's poo. I'm so wrong. Now I believe that we should have a federal Europe and actually that we should pay more taxes and control of services and the distribution of wealth should be centralised. No, actually, I believe in the teachings of Marx now. I can't believe how wrong I was. Thank goodness someone sent me this shit.
In terms of a prank...
Or are they just going to think, these fucking lefty bastards, I knew I was right all along.
Even if it wasn't about changing minds, as pranks go, it's kind of... It pretty much ends up... Because...
Shit very rarely wins the hearts and minds argument.
Maybe in the world that those people live in, the way people open envelopes is just ripping them across the middle or something over their heads. But most people, they get a packet like that, they open it quite carefully because they don't want to...
Yeah, because they're going to go, this is quite squidgy.
If this is some macaroni or something like that, I don't want it to go everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if it's some cloves, I'm not just going to use a knife on it in case it... Yeah, so it's not even a particularly... It doesn't really even... As terrorism goes, it doesn't really spread terror. But at the same time, it doesn't help any cause at all, because that was a viable way of... I mean, okay, a very small and silly way, but a viable way of, if people believe in that sort of protest, of people actually causing some problems. Maybe if, for example, I don't know exactly how it worked, but I think if it's free post, it doesn't matter how much it weighs, they're going to pay for it to go back to them. So I thought the best way might be, you know, all of those junk takeaway menus, Indian takeaway menus, Chinese takeaway menus, all of those, pizza, because those are Italian, those are from Italy, all of that stuff. Or I mean, just any junk, but I think that would be quite poignant.
Plumber's cards, that sort of
just
thing.
Just send all of it to them.
Pictures of people that are keeping the NHS running, people who are building houses for us.
But now, not only can we not... Can nobody else do that now because it's been shut down? It wasn't going to ever change the minds of the people who are in UKIP.
Of course not.
But the people at the middle, who, let's face it, don't have many other viable options, and if they're paying attention to the news, but not paying attention to UKIP's website, they're going to be getting a version of UKIP that isn't that much worse than the Conservative Party. Not really.
Well, better really than the Conservative Party, because UKIP have got the little person in mind.
Yeah, that's the narrative.
Mm.
That those people, when they read a story about someone that they don't know that much about getting shit through their door, they are far more likely to sympathise with that person more than look into why someone might send shit round to someone. Mm. So it's kind of, if anything, it just makes them look more like victims than idiots.
So I think what two grown men are saying, is this right, is shit, don't do it.
Don't envelope up your shit.
Yeah.
I was going to say don't envelope up your shit and send it to anyone.
Yeah.
But I think you maybe don't need to envelope up your shit in the first place.
Can we could probably throw our hats and make that the first sort of endorsable two grown men message.
Yeah, because we don't really do endorsable. We don't really do definitive stuff, but that is advice that you can take straight to the bank.
Yeah, don't post your feces.
It's not been a great week for people. Right. The thing about the really far right wing, like UKIP and the BNP, is it's pretty easy to argue with them on a case-by-case basis. It's pretty easy to look at... It's pretty easy to form an argument against them, or to lampoon them, or to satire them.
Mm.
And I think, was it this week? I think it was quite recently. Nick... What's his name? The BNP guy.
Griffin.
Nick Griffin. I think his Twitter account or something got hacked.
Oh, yes.
And there were a couple of tweets out that made it clear that he'd been hacked. And so the internet kind of circled. Well, I say the internet, the clique of people that I follow on Twitter sort of circled. And they were like, oh, this is going to be good. They started rubbing their hands and they were like, oh, someone's hacked Nick Griffin's account. This is going to be brilliant. And it turned out the person who'd hacked Nick Griffin's account didn't really have much imagination or sense. And it was literally, I think there were two tweets that were a little bit, oh, I don't like black people, huh? Or something like that.
Yeah.
And then there was one that just said, oh, you're a racist twat, huh? Could have done that without hacking his account, really.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, possibly it would have been a really good time to bust some satirical chops. But, like, if... See, this is the thing, there have been lots of...
Do you want to make some assumptions about that hacker, then?
Well, they probably just found a device that Nick Griffin had lost. They probably didn't hack anything. He probably just left his account open somewhere.
Or are we looking at a certain age demographic, maybe?
Well, definitely.
Mm.
And, I mean, a few times recently I've thought about certain social injustices and things and thought, you know, maybe this is something. If there are so many hackers out there who can get into computer systems and really... cause a bit of a ruckus, maybe instead of them just focusing on one thing the way they always seem to when we hear about them, maybe they could start like dropping real like rationality bombs into the situation. But then of course something like this week happens and you realise that actually most of the tricksters out there don't have a lot of imagination at all. They're probably less the sort of people you'd want to be in a pub with than most of the people that they know, because I wouldn't want to be in a pub with Nick Griffin, to be fair. I can't really finish that.
No, because him and his colleagues scare the shit out of me. So.
I don't think they'd like me, for some reason. I'm not sure.
I think they'd like me, and, you know, I'm a good Anglo-Saxon boy.
What else did we want to talk about? I mean, there's one thing we want to talk about. But what?
I had some continuing thoughts about consent this week.
Oh, yeah.
Which bothered me, and that's it's quite, I was going to say increasingly popular. I have no data to back up that assertion whatsoever. I have noted over the last week that two people in my timeline have posted pictures that fit in with what I'm going to talk about. It's pictures of people in a less than happy state.
Mm-hmm.
So the two occasions I'm thinking of is people who are drunk and either look ludicrous or are in a ludicrous situation. One was a man, looked like he'd fallen asleep. Wasn't entirely clear whether he'd had a heart attack or whether he'd collapsed on the street in New York. Literally in the street as well, not on the pavement or the sidewalk, as I believe they'd call it. He was in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And a picture was taken and posted, and this individual was mocked. my initial thought was, that's a human being in the road. Maybe take a photograph after you've got them to a place of safety.
Yeah.
But I was uncomfortable with the fact that this individual was mocked in the first place. The second was a picture of a woman on a bus in Plymouth who had a coat on and a ill-fitting bikini and looked visibly distressed.
Mm-hmm.
Both people looked like it was alcohol-related issues, and both were mocked in, mm-hmm. in the tweets that I saw. My issue, obviously neither of these individuals have consented to have their images published across the internet like that. I know that that isn't necessarily how consent works, unfortunately. But what worried me was how uncaring it is to see a fellow human being... Now, to see if I'll finish this thought first. How uncaring it was to see a fellow human being in that sort of state, and your first thought when you see someone who really look like they're probably at their lowest ebb, and mm-hmm. if they're not at their lowest ebb, they are crashing towards it, why you think that taking a photograph and mocking them is an appropriate thing to do,
yeah,
is beyond me. Don't get me wrong, I live in an area of town where there's a wide range of people in varying sort of cultures and backgrounds live, and you do see people sometimes in the area I live that are worse for wear, in inverted commas. And I won't pretend that I have the same reactions that most people have when I'm passing them on the street, is they make me uncomfortable. I'm worried that they're going to single me out and start shouting at me or make a scene, or, you know, some of them maybe, you know, attack you or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult not to sort of raise your eyebrows. And, in you know, because you don't want to see that. You don't want those people to enter your day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the chaos of other people to hinder your day. So we have that reaction. It's like, yeah. well, I'm kind of disgusted, is maybe too strong a word, but I don't want this drunk person whose life's fucked up. I don't want their problems. I don't want their imploding life
mm-hmm.
to impact on my day, because I'm just busy keeping my shit together. I don't yeah. have to deal with their shit. But at the same time, I feel a human reaction as well. It's like, well, actually, I feel quite sorry for them as well, you know. And there's a duality there in terms of my feelings. But what I don't want to do is make things worse, I think,
or even just take a photo of them and
yeah.
I mean, I think
I guess I'm a very long-winded way, but I don't understand the mindset of someone who takes photographs of people who are like that and thinks it's okay to ridicule them. I think it's fucked up, especially when they're individuals who have a large number of followers on their accounts and a level of celebrity as well.
I think the thing is, it's such normal behaviour now, and I think that, I don't know if you really got to see the thing about the women eating on trains.
I'm well aware of it.
Thing, the Facebook group. So that, it kind of came up then. And got very much framed as a gendered thing. Got very much framed as a misogyny. And there's something wrong with taking photos of people on... I think I maybe talked about it on this show as well. There's definitely something wrong with taking photos of people in that setting. But what's interesting to me is that I think a lot of the people who complained about that, at the same time, don't think as much of it when someone they follow who they like does something like you said. Takes a photo of some street theatre, I think it's colloquially called.
Well, there were some individuals, sorry, just to maybe illustrate your point. I know there were some individuals who I'm aware are not keen on the women eating, and quite rightly, I think it's a weird and creepy and, yeah.
It gets weirder the more they explain it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the same individuals that I've seen quite rightly taking umbrage at that were the same individuals that were posting the picture that went viral a few months ago of the young hipster waiting for a friend who clearly had an erection.
Yeah. And there's definitely There's I think, a problem with all of that, with that whole range of behaviours. I kind of... There's definitely a bit of a logic gap going on there as well, because we all circled and pointed at racist woman on a bus and at cat bin lady and stuff like that. Now, they were actually committing crimes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's that level of voyeurism is just a little bit weird. The only problem I have with it is I have seen some of the articles I've read about this behaviour and how wrong it is also take in when, say, someone's live tweeting something that's going on near them. Like, say someone is really near a domestic at a table, like they're in a restaurant or on a train and they're really near a domestic at a table,
mm-hmm.
and they start live tweeting it. Now,
see, isn't it funny? I've got less of a problem with that because it's more abstract.
Well, and I think most people have less of a problem with that because it's more abstract. And I actually think that unless you're saying which stations you're going through, or you're describing the people physically, and I think that's the thing. I think a lot of the people who are quite right on and anti the women on trains eating and stuff like that are kind of, there is nearly everyone feels a bit elitist about someone, you know, like if someone's a bit of a pleb or a bit of a twat, or if someone says something racist. If someone says something racist, or they seem like they might be a bit of an oik or some football fans or whatever, then actually you can say anything the fuck you like about them, because they're not, like, they don't count, you know. Your followers are unlikely to know them, so it doesn't matter. And so there's a little bit of a dehumanisation thing. But yeah, I think, I mean, unless you're like, I don't have a problem with live tweeting something like a domestic, as long as you're not giving identifying information about them. And I can see so many ways that you cannot give identifying information about them, because there is something interesting. There's the nastiness of how voyeuristic it is, and that's not particularly nice. But there's also something so human about hearing of another person's, like, if someone's life is falling apart in a public place, and if you can't identify who they are from what you're hearing, there is an element of we can all kind of relate to that, and it is an interesting thing that's happening near someone.
But it's almost like it's one thing saying, oh well, that drunk guy kind of had an impact on my day, this is how I feel about it, is one thing. Taking a picture and going, look at him.
Absolutely. It's completely different because thing. it takes away their right to anonymity, really. I mean, okay, people aren't ever going to find out who they are, but it does. It takes away their right.
I'll tell you what I think it is. It's the Victorians touring Bedlam is what it is.
Ah, okay. I don't know what that is, but immediately kind of can tell. It speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Well, Bedlam, the very famous mental institution that Victorian people would tour to see the mental people in action. It's a way of feeling superior to people who are in a less fortunate position than yourself.
Was there a gift shop?
Do you know, if there wasn't, they missed a trick, wasn't it?
Or like one of those canteens that sells everything a bit more expensive than it is, even though it's just a fucking badly cooked jacket potato.
I think, given the fact that Bedlam's closed, I'd say probably not, because they didn't sort of monetize.
If they'd done that, then they maybe would have stayed open.
Be with us, unfortunately not.
The funny thing of the consent thing is interesting. I can't remember if I've talked about it on a previous show, but there was a I showed Amy and Noah, but I don't think he really took it in. One of those, it's one of I think they're called the Fine Brothers on YouTube. They do the kids react to, or elders react to, or teenagers react to things, and it was kids react to gay marriage. And so they show us an assortment of kids from about 5 to about 12, I guess. All American kids. Not all American in capital letters with stars and spangles. I just mean all of the kids were American. These two wedding proposal videos. One is a guy getting married to another, proposing to another guy. One is a woman proposing to another woman. really ostentatious proposals. I was so nervous about... That's a different episode. Talking about proposals and stuff, completely different episode. We'll do that at some point, I'm sure.
Oh, we totally should. We should definitely do that.
So there's an element of... I saw a video the other day of another particularly wacky wedding ceremony. This was between a guy and a woman, but there was like a fight scene and then more fight scenes and all of this, and I was watching it thinking, this is annoying.
The problem being, though, is now gay people are allowed to marry heterosexuals, have to fight for space and attention, so...
Gay people are allowed to marry heterosexuals.
But they shouldn't be allowed to.
No.
And that's why I'll be voting UKIP at this election.
But... And all but one of the kids have really good reactions to it. And one of the kids, and he's one of the younger kids. He must be about 5 or 6 or something like that. And he's got really weird little eyebrows. He's something you notice almost straight away. And he's very, no, it's wrong. Well, and the guy asks him, well, why is it wrong? And he says, well, because gay is bad for you and stuff like that. And they ask him, well, why is it bad for you? And he's like, well, I don't know. It just is. And most of the kids are quite individual. Mm. This kid is clearly just parroting stuff that he has been told and believes it, because that's how your brains work when, well, that's how actually most people, like I was saying before, that's where most prejudice comes from. It comes from what's normal around the people that you grow up around.
It's inherited.
Yeah. But every time I watch it, I think, well, okay. I mean, I'm watching this, and I think it's good that they've got at least one kid in there who doesn't have as idealistically perfect a response, because it's a more honest representation of, I think, how it is. It's very nice watching all of these quite precocious and lovely kids having an open-minded attitude. And maybe on balance, most people are nice, but... At the same time, it's a very specific group of kids that they've got that they keep coming back. They are kids who are very, very... They give very eloquent and good responses. So it's a self-selecting... It's kind of a self-selecting group. But okay, so they've got this one kid. And his point of view, it's not... I don't agree with it, but it's as valid having his point of view on there, because it's a genuine point of view. But Palmy was also thinking, but he's not old enough to really know... He's not old enough to really say, well, I believe this, so I don't mind if the whole world sees it in a video. He doesn't necessarily understand that can impact on the whole planet looking at this video's impression of you. I didn't look too much at the comments, but I found this video because someone posted about it on Twitter. And one of the first things they said was, oh, you can tell that little kid's evil, though, from his eyebrows. And I was like...
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's interesting.
Well, again, another Victorian that you could tell whether someone was going to be a criminal by their forehead.
Let's point at the homophobe.
But no, there was actually a...
The baby homophobe.
Was it phrenology or something like that? Mm. There was a science in Victorian, certainly Victorian Britain, where just from someone's facial profiling, you could tell whether they'd be a perpetrator of some crime or not. That's exactly what that person is doing, is like having a Victorian attitude to future crime. It's how these people can't have a little look in the mirror and think about what they're saying and what they're doing.
The instinct isn't to reach out to this kid and sort of say, well, but...
Or say, wow, I wonder what else his parents are teaching him, that poor little bastard.
There's, it just reminds me of I saw a photo this week that I hadn't seen before of it's a rally. I think it's a Ku Klux Klan rally. I think it's quite an old photo of a Ku Klux Klan rally, and there are among the police officers who are obviously like keeping an eye on it all. There are some African American police, and they've got riot shields or something. I can't remember, but they're standing there, and there's this little, really little kid in a Ku Klux Klan outfit, just kind of reaching out to the riot, just reaching out to the, just touching the, just because kids are curious. He doesn't know he's in a Ku Klux Klan outfit.
I do have a question to ask.
What?
Is it definitely a kid and not a little person?
I honestly don't know. If it was a grown-up, they wouldn't go that close to... Unless he was going to plant some sort of bomb or something.
Exactly.
Shit. I didn't look into the story. It was just in a list of like 25 inspirational photos. I didn't look into any of them. I bet that's, I bet there's an awful story behind that one. I mean, aside from the fact that the awfulness that the Ku Klux Klan existed and had a rally.
And I think there's probably an awful story behind every single one of these pictures that I'm talking about as well. I remember that it was a particularly notorious... I'm sure we're all aware of this, but there was a particularly notorious drunk lady that we used to see frequent the area of Southampton that I work in. And then obviously she had a nickname, because they all have a nickname.
Yeah.
But I met someone who worked for a homeless charity, and I was talking about the various individuals that we see around and about. And they were aware of this individual and gave me a little insight into her story. And given the loss that apparently, or sorry, the compound losses that she'd had in her life prior to her becoming an alcoholic, which eventually led to her having a very chaotic life on the streets, you sort of think to yourself, everyone I think who posts one of these pictures needs to sort of think to themselves, how many things do I need to go wrong in my life for that to be me? Because everyone has a limit, I think, of what happens. And
Bill Hicks says that about a drunk that he has to step over in the street.
Mm.
And he says, you know, I'm sympathetic. The right woman, the right friends, and the right something or other, I can't remember. And I could be in that position.
Yeah.
Or the wrong. Yeah. I don't know, really. I don't think you even have to look that far, though. Mm. I think you only have to look as far as how would I... It's actually, I think, one of those Christian values, the do to others as you'd
do... Do no evil. That's Google.
No, the do unto others as you'd do to yourselves. I think if you would perhaps not like complete strangers to post a photo of you online...
Mm.
And with a pithy caption of their design underneath it, then possibly it's maybe something you shouldn't be doing yourself. Yeah. So it's kind of, I don't know. Another thing, and we won't talk about it this week, but a thing that that annoyed me the other day to the extent that I posted I don't really blog anymore. I just write 200 or 300 word rants on Facebook. on Facebook, because it's longer, it's easier to do that sort of thing, and then sometimes I transfer those to a blog post if I feel strongly enough about it, but there's a video doing the rounds, and if it's still around next week, maybe we'll talk about it, about how everyone needs to just look up from their mobile devices once in a while, because the thing that's wrong with society at the moment maybe is that we don't really connect with each other anymore, because we're all talking to complete strangers in other cities all the time online instead of just looking the person next to us in the eye.
I'd like to read that.
It's a video.
I'd like to look at it. Oh no, I'd like to read it on paper, preferably not on a... Am I going to have to use an electronic device to look at this person?
Yeah, it's very confusing. It's a YouTube video.
To look at this person saying I shouldn't be looking at things on...
I just don't even... So if that's still doing the rounds next week, as things sometimes do, we'll maybe talk about it next week.
And next week maybe I'll talk about how I had an argument with someone at work the other day about how calling someone a bastard wasn't the same as calling someone the N-word.
Okay, yep, I'd like that conversation. Yeah, are you going to say the N-word the whole way through?
I'm not going to say I do not feel comfortable saying that word.
No, I mean, you're going to be saying the N-word. I will be
N-word. Saying the N-word, yeah.
Right, okay, cool. I mean, the open speech marks, the N-word, the little speech mark, N, little speech mark, word, closed speech marks. You're going to be saying those three words.
Smiley face, tonguey pokey out face.
Those three words.
Derp face. Yeah.
Okay, cool. No, that's good.
That's the slanty. The backs. Is it backslash or forward slash?
I don't know. Just before we go, because we are about to go, there'll be show notes for this episode. There's also a mailing list. Where we sometimes write cool stuff. Last week's was a bit rubbish. I didn't really put much in it because I had a bit of a mare last week. Please do tell your friends about us.
But not the authorities.
The one thing I just wanted to say very, very quickly, we won't talk about it too much because it's not really our place to, but one half of the Geek Syndicate podcast is Dave Monteith, and he and his wife were pregnant, and in the last few days... they lost their child, and so I just want to send them our condolences because we know him, and because I think that a lot more people have experience of stuff like this, perhaps not to the same extent that they have, but an awful lot more people have experience of troubled pregnancies or situations like this than actually talk about it. And maybe at some point in the future we'll talk about that a little bit more. James and I will talk about that a little bit more. Yeah. But it's not really appropriate now. But yeah, we just send our thoughts and condolences out to them. It's the most awful thing that can happen to someone. So.
Yeah, it's dreadful.
So, yeah, our condolences to them. And we will speak to you next week, listener.
Thank you. Bye-bye.